spirit, Lord, that has been here remains, Lord. But I'd even ask, God, as bold as Elisha, I would ask for a double portion, God, from here on out. Not for my glory, but for yours. Not to say what I did, but to say, look what God has done. Look how he touched. Look how he moved. Look how he blessed, God. So I just pray right now that you double it, God. That you would double it. That two at the altar would become four, and four would become eight, and eight would become 16. And God, that there would just be a powerful move in this place, God. Father, you meet us here, and we're so grateful. I love you, Lord. Oh. My God, in Jesus' name, I pray and say, amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Church, you may be seated. First Samuel 17, verse 48. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Lord, I thank you for all you are, all you do, all you've done. God, I pray for anointing upon every eye and ear and heart and mind in this place that will receive. Lord, even if someone listens to this message later, that the anointing would fall upon them and the message would fall upon their anointed eyes and ears and hearts and mind, God. Father, I just have a sense this is the right message for the right day. And God, I pray that you would anoint me to hear and see where the Spirit leads in this message. And Father, right now I'm praying for Bill Wilson, Ruby Wilson, Jessica Browser, Robin Young, Lord. Bless them. And God, I'm praying for our delivery person. Send us the right person, Lord, that we can bless to show your amazing love. God, I don't want to drop a glory out of this. I want it all to go to you. This is a kingdom thing, God. And we pray that you would help us to be a blessing to this person for your kingdom, God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. First Samuel 17:48. I love how this starts. I mean, I love how this one line, this one scripture begins. Then it happened. Like just those three words kind of build some kind of expectation, some kind of, oh man, I got to keep reading. I got to find out what happened. In those three words, the author just kind of is starting to set us up to see something, to build up some anticipation, some possible excitement into reading what happened. You ever had somebody come to you and tell you a story and they'd be like, man, you got to hear what happened. I just got to tell you what happened. I was here, just doing one thing, and this other thing happened, and then something else happened, and the whole time you're just like, man, that's crazy. What happened? What happened? Like if I stopped right there after then it happened and didn't say anything else the rest of the time, be like, well, Pastor, but what happened? You said something happened. What happened? Finish the story. Well, we're going to finish the story, but you're going to, by the time I get through next week, you're going to know this story really well. Really, really well. This just jumped out at me as I was reading the other day. Actually, it was last Sunday. This just jumped out at me. There was just something about this story that just jumped off the page at me. And it started with that line right there. Then it happened. And I thought, oh man, I can't stop here. I got to keep reading. Because something happened. Something happened. It says, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to David, that David ran quickly to meet, or toward the battle, to meet the Philistine. David's a young guy. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he ran. Because he was young enough to like just not even think about it. Maybe there were other reasons. But it's not like we underestimate this. Maybe we just take it for granted because we know what happens because we've read David and Goliath, right? We started listening to it, hearing about it as kids when we're little bitty, and so we know, you know, David kills Goliath, and so we know all that. And we just go, well, David kills Goliath, so, you know, that's what happened. There's more to it than just that. There's more to what happened than just that happened. Because the Philistine, the giant, the big tall dude, starts coming today towards David. And most of us, the giant starts coming our way. We're starting to go the other way because the giant's coming towards us. Right? But that's not David. David ran quickly toward the battle line. He didn't just kind of go, well, all right. He ran quickly to the battle line. He was anxious to get to the battle. How many of us would be anxious to get to the battle with a giant? You know, my generation, I grew up back years and years ago when I was a little bitty boy. There was this guy that they called Andre the Giant. Right, great big dude. I mean, tall, thick. I mean, just massive human being. When I was in high school, at Perkins, I would have been probably my sophomore freshman year. We played in a basketball tournament in Tonkawa at NOC, and at NOC they had a 7-footer. Okay, those guys don't come around real often. Okay. He's a giant. And this dude was the biggest human being I'd ever seen in my life. His fingers felt like my legs. I mean, just gigantic human being. What's really funny is that after he left NOC, he went into professional wrestling. And they ended up calling him, I think, the Big Show. Like, just a gigantic, huge human being. He played basketball at NOC. I shook his hand. I tried to shake his hand. It was like, I was just huge. And I thought, nope, not playing against him. That would be unfair. Wouldn't be right. Maybe David was arrogant. Maybe he just had confidence in what God was going to do. Maybe he felt called to the battle. I don't know why he ran. I just know that he ran to the battle. Man, we have got, as not just this church, but the church has to be ready to fight the battles that come our way. We have to be ready for those battles. Because they come. And they come every day. Every day in one way, shape, form, or fashion. Brother Bill is fighting a battle every single day. Sister Ruby is right there with him fighting a battle every day. Right? Brother Barney fighting a battle every day. Anybody not fight a battle this week? Anybody? Like, no, I just coasted through the week. Exactly. It happens. And it happens to us way more often than we think about or realize. And we have to be people that, this is what it reminds me of, okay? I try not to post in there, but I'm in the ladies group, so I can kind of see what's going on. And bless Jesus. And honestly, that's because we have had issues, not here in the past, but other places in the past. And bless the Lord. Praise God. No more issues like that. Thank you, Jesus. But it's awesome that one of the ladies will post something and it's like all the ladies run to battle. Like you can see this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. Either like it, pray in hands, say praying, just something. Sometimes it's like, hey, you need to pray this. Or hey, you need to do, just think about this. Or I just love that they're so quick to run to battle. We have got to be his church running to the battle. The giant has been yelling, screaming at the Israelite army for days, maybe even weeks, could even be months. I mean, he's taunting them day after day after day, challenging them to a fight. And they're all scared to death of him. I mean, they're all terrified of him. I get it. Makes sense to me. It would not make sense to me if they weren't terrified of him. He's a huge guy. But sometimes you got to be careful what you're asked for. Because in verse 49, this is what happened. David put his hand in his bag, took from it a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. What? Victory. Right? Victory. Giant fell. Giant is face down. David didn't use a big sword. He didn't use a machine gun. He didn't use a baseball bat. He didn't use a handgun. He didn't use a cannon or a bazooka or an RPG or a drone strike. He used a rock. Isn't it amazing what you can do with a rock? Isn't it amazing what you can do with a rock? So the giant falls face down. The enemy underestimated what God could do. David did not underestimate what God could do. The whole Israelite army underestimated what God could do. Saul underestimated what God could do. David did not underestimate what God could do. We have to get to that place in our faith. And it's not an easy place to get to where we have that confidence that we just know God's going to do something. Like it just, we can't even, like our prayer sometimes needs to be like the disciples, Lord, help us increase our faith, right? Because I need to have the faith that no matter what the adversary brings to me, what the enemy brings to me, I'm going to get through it. I'm going to be victorious. I don't care if it's a stone that I got to use. I'm going to use whatever God puts in front of me or in my hand, and I'm going to use that and the power of God to overcome whatever that enemy that is in front of me. I believe with all of my heart that God loves to use the ones that are underestimated more than he wants to use those that have great power and influence. Because I believe he gets more glory when he uses a David than if he had used another giant. Right? If it was giant against giant, that's then, you know, hey, he was just stronger. But when it's David against giant, there's got to be a God factor in that battle. There is a God factor in your battle that you may or may not have taken into account or realized that was there. There is a God factor in your battle. If you just apply the God factor, the battle can be won. Too often, we don't apply the God factor. We think we got to figure it out. We got to fix it. We got to do it. It's up to us. It's up to what we can do, what we know, what we can bring to the table. God says, no, you bring what you can, and I'll do the rest. We don't trust him to do the rest too often. We just think, well, I'm going to try. I'm see what happens. Well, maybe. Too many maybes in our battles. Way too many maybes in our battles. What I love about this part of the story is, if you stopped reading right here, if you stopped right here at this verse, Goliath is down. No question, Goliath is face down. The question is Goliath dead? Because down don't mean dead. Did you hear me? Down don't mean dead. Tammy tried to get me to change that. That's not good English. I don't care. Down don't mean dead. As a plain and simple, the easiest way I can put it for my little pea brain to understand. Down don't mean dead. And you have got to remember that those three words. You need to write them down somewhere. You need to put them. I don't care if they're on your mirror, on your dash, on your computer. I don't care. You need to put those somewhere that you remember that down don't mean dead. That's the message for you today, is that down don't mean dead. I don't care how down. I don't care face down. I don't care in a pit. I don't care in a valley. I don't care how down you are. You might be down, but you ain't dead. I never sounded more oaky in my entire life than right now. But it's just the way I feel. It's the spirit inside of me that says that, like last week I read this and I got to verse 49 and I went, the giant's down, but it doesn't say he's dead. Oh man, and in my spirit, suddenly it went, down don't mean dead. I met with Pastor Reed from Center Church and met with a missionary Wednesday, and we talked about, you know, what we're reading and what we're doing, and I asked him what he's preaching. He said, what are you preaching? And I said, down don't mean dead. That's the way it's been the whole week. Down don't mean dead. Because it just doesn't. It don't mean, just because you're down, don't mean you're dead. How many of you have been knocked down? How many of you have been put down? How many of you have fallen down, stumbled down, tripped? Brother Bill, this morning, he was down. He ain't dead. In fact, I pray to God this is recorded, because I'm going to send him a link to it. Down don't mean dead. Brother Bill, Sister Ruby, down don't mean dead. Just, I just believe with everything inside of me that for some reason today that people here need to hear that down don't mean dead. I don't care. I don't care if your relationship is down. I don't care if your finances are down. I don't care what it is. Just because they're down don't mean you're dead. In fact, I believe some of you are going to have a moment this week where somebody you work with or somebody you know is going to have a moment. They're going to be really down. And you're going to say, hey, down don't mean dead. It's okay to be down. We all have moments. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. My God is with me. My God is with me. If he's with me, then he's for me. If he's for me, who can be against me? I mean, come on now. We have got to be, if we're gonna have faith, we need to have faith. Not just a little bit of faith. And I understand sometimes we start with a little bit of faith, mustard seed, right? But you know what happens to a mustard seed? When it gets planted, when your faith gets planted, it grows. And if you take care of it and water it, fertilize it, I love the idea of fertilizing. Because you know what fertilizer is, right? Right? Because sometimes we have to take a little to grow. I say that as well as I could without saying what I'm, okay? Sometimes it takes a little to grow. Okay. That wasn't in these notes here. That's free. Did Pastor really say that? He didn't, but he did, but he didn't. Nah, she wouldn't. That's fact. We sang, I think it was the second song of the second half today. Yeah. In the crushing, in the pressing. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. But we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but we ain't destroyed. We might be down, but we ain't dead. It happens, right? I mean, then it happens. I'm so glad that I can, even when I get down. Oh, that reminds me of a song that they used to play on the House FM. I get down, he lifts me up. I get down, he lifts me up. I know that when I get down, my God can raise me up again and bring me back to a place where I find joy again. Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? I just read this and this jumped off the page at me, and I felt like we needed to hear today that it doesn't matter that we get knocked down, because God is always with us. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here's something that I want you to hear today. You're down but not out. I don't care what the odds look like. They're probably not in your favor. But that's before the God factor. Job 1:12. I don't like the book of Job. This is total honesty, okay? It's weird and confusing. Yeah, Pastor just said he didn't like a book in the Bible. There's good parts of it. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. This is the Lord speaking about Job. Only do not put forth your hand on him. You do anything to him, but you can't kill him. You can knock him down, but he won't be dead. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. It's difficult to understand or even sometimes accept that there would be a conversation between Satan and the Lord, and the Satan's looking for somebody that he can mess with, and the Lord says, how about Job? And the Satan knew that Job had been so blessed by God. I mean, so blessed by God. He's like, you have done so much for him. Why would I even try? And the Lord says, well, you can do anything to him, but you can't kill him. Right? I want you to hear that the devil has restrictions. He might be able to do a lot to you, but he can't kill you. He might knock you down, but you won't be dead. Down don't mean dead. And the only reason, the only reason the devil ever wants to knock us down is because he knows better our potential than we do. See? He don't mess with people without potential. He don't mess with people without potential. If he's messing with you, it's because there's something in you. There's something in you. There's something in you that God wants to use for good. There's something in you that God wants to use for his glory, not for yours. It's not going to become the you show. Right? And you can only get there when you get to that place where you can say without even thinking about it, no, 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 no. That's not me. That's my God. I didn't, yes, yes, I did that. But I was only able to do that because of the help of my God. I am only what he has made me. I am only who I am because he has done all of these things for me. That's it. One of the most influential principles in the Bible that stuck deep into my spirit was humble yourself and I will exalt you. Exalt yourself and I will humble you. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to stay on my knees. Because you putting me on my knees is going to be a way different experience than me putting me on my knees. And I would rather humble myself and do my best to stay humble before you than for him to have to humble me. That don't sound fun at all. I like to have fun, and that don't sound like no fun at all. Yep, still sounding okey, aren't I? Woof, bless Jesus. It doesn't sound fun. It's always been really difficult, the idea that the Lord would say, hey, you ever thought about Job? Because I've thought, hey, Lord, that conversation ever happens again, could you not use my name? Please? Could I not be a part of that conversation? Please? But then I think, well, Job was down, but he wasn't dead. And God restored everything to him. Took a little while. Went through a little pain, a little discomfort, a little junk. A little fertilizer. And he grew. Right? I hope that you hear. I hope and pray that somewhere, somehow, it is getting through to somebody in this place. And it doesn't matter how down you are or have been. That if there is breath in your lungs, that God still has the chance to use you and bless you and restore you. Oh, down don't mean dead. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. I've heard Brother Barney quote this verse very recently. You know, when you fall one time, you can write that off as an accident. Well, it happened. When you fall two times, you start to wonder. When you fall three times, we've created a habit here or something. Might have a real issue. When you fall seven times, okay, there's definitely an issue. But though we fall seven times, we rise again. It doesn't matter how many times we fall. Getting back up is all that matters. It's not about how many times you fall. Man, I have fallen so many times, I couldn't even count them. Seven, ooh, that's so far back in the rearview mirror, I can't even see seven. Doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is you get up. You got to get up. You've got to rise up. You've got to get out from that place where you are and start to try to move forward. And you might fall again. Who cares? Get up. Rise up. Who cares if you fell again? Well, but I'm just so tired of falling. Well, I'd rather see you fall and rise up than fall and stay down. You got to get up. Like, you have to get up. There's the only other choice is to, you know, lay there and die. Right. Like Jonah. Jonah sitting under the plant, you know. I just find that so funny. Just sitting there under the plant, you know. Just feeling sorry for himself. God, I knew if I went like you told me to go, that you'd move on those people and they would be forgiven. And then the worm comes. I love the worm. I love the worm. Eats up the plant, plant dies, and they're just throwing a fit. Because he wouldn't get up. We have to get up. We have to stand. So you fell. So what? So what? Who hasn't fallen? I mean, honestly, who hasn't fallen? Now, do me a favor real quick, okay? I want the person that made it through the whole week without stumbling in any way. You didn't lose your temper. You didn't even think a bad word. You didn't slam your hand in something. You were perfect this whole week, okay? Do me a favor, get out. I ain't see anybody head for the door. See? I didn't leave either, just so you know. We don't have perfect people in here. Praise God. I don't want them. I don't. I don't want this church full of perfect people. They'd run me out of here so fast, Lord Jesus. My head would be spinning, but I'd sleep. I just read this and I see this moment. And I see that Goliath falls and he's face down there. He's face down there. And he may or may not be dead. You might be face down. But I know you're not dead. You might be hurt. You might be wounded. You might be bruised or broken. You might have so much pain. You might have so much physical pain. You might have so much emotional pain, so much spiritual pain because of what some saint said to you or did to you. I love the Bible calls us saints. I question that for some people, but he still calls us saints. What I want, what my heart is, where my heart is in this message right here, is that I believe, I think about Brother Bill, okay? I think about Brother Bill. And I want him to know with everything inside of me that he might be down, but he's not dead. I want us, as the body of Christ, I want the body of Christ to learn to fight till our last breath, no matter how down we get. Are we in the worst position the church has ever been in the country? Maybe. Are we dead? No. Did COVID affect us? Absolutely. Are we dead? No. Are the nation's politics causing us some issues? Yes. But we ain't dead. See? We have to remember that we're not dead, that we're alive. And if we're going to be alive, we need to be full of life. Full of life. Not just a little life. Not just a, oh, I want us to be so full of life that running is not a problem. Well, it's a kind of a problem for me. If I run, you better run. Because, whoo, bless the Lord, something really bad's happening. But I'm saying I want us to be so full of life that people would walk in to any church in this city. Any Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, Jesus-preaching church in this city and realize that there is life and life everlasting. Sometimes I wonder if people think that the church is dead because they walk in and see zombies, you know, just like, bless you. Like, I'm serious. Like, I want us to have life. Not the walking dead in here. We're not dead, we're alive. We might be down, but we're not dead. Let's act like it. Let's speak like it. It's amazing what can happen when the people around you know that there's all kinds of stuff going on in your life. All kinds of things coming against you. When you can still say, hallelujah. When you can still stand and sing, when you can clap along even if you're out of rhythm with the song, when you can still find joy, then they realize you might be down, but you're not dead. And if you're not dead, why aren't you? Like you, I'd have been dead a long time ago if I was in your shoes. Yeah, but you don't know my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. God bless you. Down, but don't mean dead. And I don't know. I don't know who needed to hear this the most. It'd be easy to make some assumptions. But you know what happens when you do that, right? Most of us are familiar with that old saying. Go ahead, Robert, say it. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay. You know what happens when you assume? I don't want to assume. I'm not going to call anybody out because I don't know. Jamie, if you'll find a song. Here's the way I want to encourage you, okay? I'm not the only one in this church that can pray. Praise God. If there are, no, not if. This is not an if. There are factually people who are down. Down because of this, down because of that. Down because of family issues, down because of personal issues, down because of finance, down because of stress, anxiety, fear, depression, whatever. There is a meeting place right here. And I'm not going to be the only one praying for you. Sometimes the hardest step to take is from your seat to the altar. But there's something powerful that happens at the altar. When you lay it at the feet of Jesus. And if you need to cry, you cry. If you need to praise, you praise. And if there's a lady that comes forward, I need a lady behind her praying. And if there's a man that comes forward, I want a man behind him praying. Because it's so easy to get down. I just know it is. It's easy to get down. Because life's not always easy. And it's not always fair. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask if you know from the very beginning when I said down don't mean dead, something in your spirit jumped and said, oh man, he's talking about me. If you would come forward, somebody will pray with you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your spirit that quickened this message into my spirit and said, tell them that down don't mean dead. Lord, I thank you that though we may fall 7 times, Lord, we can rise up again. Though we may fall 77 times, God, we can rise up again. Father, I pray that right now, whoever is down for whatever reason, let there be no pride that keeps us from the altar. Let there be no ego that keeps us from the altar. Let us not for a moment think, what will people think? If they think anything other than bless them, Lord, I pray that you would convict them, God. Father, I pray that if anyone comes forward, that they would find you in this place, in this moment, God. They might have been down. This may have been a really bad week for them. They might have been pressed. They weren't crushed. They might have been struck down, but they were not destroyed, God. And I pray that you meet them here and you encourage them and bless them, God, and that you would renew their strength, Lord. And they would find you here. So, Father, if there be anyone here that knows they're down, let them come, Lord. That our prayers of faith would help to lift them up again and they could rise. Father, I thank you. Thank God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You're down, but you're not dead. You're down, but you're not dead. Yes. Yes. If you want to extend your hands and pray for Brother Jimmy, you're welcome to. I'm going to pray and close out service. And if you need to go home, if you want to go, I encourage you to be blessed as you leave. You want to stay here and help us pray for Jimmy.